Attention everyone, this is an emergency broadcast. The loud frequency coming from your radio is not a mistake. Do not turn off your radio, but instead turn up your radio as loud as it can go. Do this so we can broadcast this frequency as loud as possible.
And welcome, everybody, to another episode of Game Stuff. I'm your gaming gal, Kalai, and I am joined today by the grounded one, Corey. Corey, what's up?
Not too much, Kalai. Just getting super stoked for the next week of gaming.
Oh, me too. And we don't have a Joe today. Unfortunately, Joe is still sick. We're pretty sure he's close to dying, but I think in his last breath, he's still playing PlayStation.
Yeah, well, the nice thing is to see at least he's able to, like, power through and get some trophies. But he's definitely still sick. The Joe that we knew that used to stay up till 4 o'clock in the morning and play video games with me and good old Mad Hatter is just not there anymore. We're pretty sure we were playing with him the other night and he fell asleep. So he's that sick.
Yeah, but he'll be back soon.
Hopefully in the next episode.
So what have you been playing this week, Corey? Anything good?
By good, you mean games that are new? No.
I mean, like, anything fun, you know, exciting.
It's the same old thing for me. I think the only thing that really I picked up Neverwinter again, like the MMO on the PS4 that's free to play. I started playing that again with the Mad Hatter because we wanted to play something else that wasn't Battlefield 1 because we seem to break a lot of controllers in Battlefield 1. And so breaking controllers is not a good thing. Especially when we have a limited budget, and usually buying games is more of a priority than paying for controllers. And where in Canada, the controllers cost just as much as games, it's definitely something where we'd rather not break them. So playing Battlefield 1 where we're losing matches because our team sucks, we definitely don't want that. That is for sure.
Well, do you have, like, the Handsome Jack collection?
Yes, I do.
Kathy have that?
The what?
Does Kathy have that?
No, Kathy doesn't play first-person shooters.
Okay, well, we'll talk about that, actually. Let's just wait and talk about that. I'm getting ahead of myself. So what have you been playing besides Battlefield 1?
Battlefield 1? God Eater. Sorry, I started playing God Eater Resurrection, the first one.
Now, I've never played God Eater. Could you tell me about that game? Is it like a fighter? Is it
God Eater is very shooter? Much, it's very much in the vein of Monster Hunter. So it's kind of like the only difference between it. It's the same kind of idea where you have a party of up to four people, usually. You jump into the map. It's a very small map. You find the enemies you need to find, kill them, jump back out. Pick another mission, jump into the map, kill the enemies, jump back out. Upgrade your gear, continue upgrading your gear, make your character look cooler, jump back in, jump back out. Same kind of idea. The only difference between it and Monster Hunter is Monster Hunter has more of a atmosphere basis, whereas this is very much run in, kill things, and run back out. So it's very much in that vein of, I don't know what they call the vein of games. It's a special genre, but I like.
Is it like a boss hunter game? Is that the word you're looking for?
No, boss hunter games are very different because it's just one boss, and usually it's boss after boss after boss. This is where there's some missions have. Okay, you need to run and kill these minions, and then the next mission might be just a straight boss. The next mission might be you have to rescue people, and they're somewhere on the map. I can't remember exactly where or what it's called, per se. I know it's a certain genre, though, but I know Joe knows the name of the genre. You guys can let us know through our Facebook group or through any of our private groups on Discord as well.
JT will probably know, so JT, if you could help us out.
Yeah, exactly, because yeah, it's a certain genre, and I really like that genre. I've always liked that genre, just because it's something where you can pick up the game, play a mission. Like, for example, we were sitting here, me and Kalai, while we were getting ready this morning, I decided to play a couple missions, and I was able to finish a mission within a minute and 42 seconds. Jump in, kill everything, minute and 42 seconds go by, and we're back out. So it's something I can pick up and play. It was very much a game based for the PSP, originally. That's where those games became popular. Whereas on the PSP and the 3DS and stuff, and like same with Monster Hunter, a lot of that genre came from there. So, and then other than that, I tried playing Killing Floor 2 to, because JT was like, hey, just join in. As long as someone beats the game, we'll be okay. I almost got the trophy because the guy was on the final wave and we were almost there. And then he had 20 guys left and then he died. And the problem is that there's such a limited amount of people playing it that right now I think 10 waves is what people are doing. And so that's like a 2-hour match. And I'm like, okay, I have to be really prepared to sit for 2 hours and play this match because you're 200 plus enemies a wave, 10 matches of that. So it's a long play style. And then if you die, you have to do it all over again. And that's why I just got to do it for the 2 trophies. And then I've got the platinum in that game and then I'm done. It's a good game, but I'll play it with friends, but I'm not playing it to succeed anymore. That's for sure. So Kalai, what have you been playing this week?
Well, I played a lot more Bravely Second. I've been leveling in that game because, again, in the style of Final Fantasy games, you got to level up your characters. Plus, I don't level as I go.
Mm-hmm.
So the one interesting fact with Bravely Default and Bravely Second is you can turn off the encounter rate. So I can walk around the map or I can walk around the dungeon, collect every piece of loot, and not get a single monster, which I really like. Because one of the fresh...
I was going to say, yes. So it's kind of like what they did in Final Fantasy VII and the 7, like 8, the PS4 version of 7 and 9 made it so you can turn off encounters. You can actually turn it on too, where your character never takes damage, technically.
Well, you take damage when you turn it on, but you can turn it up to like 100%. So you can go minus 100% and positive 100%, so you can get attacked all the time. So what I do is I'll go through a dungeon, collect everything. If I'm too low for the dungeon, I'll get to the guy. There's a save point right before the boss. And that save point, you can stay in a cottage and heal yourself for like 150. So I turn the encounter rate up to 100 and just walk around in a circle.
And then just get the encounters and then just walk back to the cottage and fully heal.
Yes, and heal, yep. And then I don't have to, like, because one of the frustrating things for Final Fantasy for me is these random encounters where I'm just, like, walking and I'm trying to get someplace and bam, I'm in a boss fight. And then, a monster fight. And then I'm in another monster fight and my health is gone and I died or I have to walk back to heal and I don't want to use my healing potions or I want to use my magic. So that kind of relieves that in this game, which I like. I think it's a positive thing.
Yeah, well, that's what, Kathy just recently platinumed Final Fantasy VII, and it's not because Kathy platinumed it technically. She didn't do it like we had to do back in 96, where you had to, like, save, and then if you died, you have to redo it. Because in Final Fantasy VII, for people that just want to know the story of those types of games, because, you know what, they're good stories, especially in 9, where you get such an elaborate story, there are ways to have it where your character... Like in 7, they had it where you could turn encounters on and off. You can turn it so the game is 3 times as fast. So when you're having to walk through an area that's super boring, just turn up 3 times speed and just run. Also, you could turn it up so that every attack you had was your limit break. So that at the beginning of your character's attack turn, they would gain full health, full mana, and have a limit break right away. So...
Oh, that's nice.
Really, you would never die. And Final Fantasy IX, they did the same thing, where if you want to, without actually voiding out the trophies, you can turn on awaken mode all the time, 999999, and 3x speed. So the way it works is literally you can turn it on from the start of the game, where all your attacks, no matter what you do, do 9,999 damage, and it does not take away your trophies. The only thing that takes away your trophies is there's options to turn on ultimate auto level up to level 99, ultimate materia level up to where you learn all the master, all the abilities, and there's auto gil to $9 million in gil. And so if you do that, those will void out your trophies because there's trophies connected to having a character at level 99. But you could literally walk through the very start of the game going, hey, look, every single match I have a fully awakened character that's doing 9,999 even on a basic attack.
That's nice.
So you can have Vivi with his little wooden staff walk up and just hit someone in the face and do 99999, which is so much fun. So that's where Kathy gets to experience those game stories without having to hinder the idea of not being able to beat it, because she's not a super good person that's huge into the strategy RPG idea of stacking materials and stacking your skills properly and leveling up properly and all that garbage.
Yeah, I'm not that good at that, and that's kind of why I like Bravely Default. Makes it a little bit easier.
You should really play Final Fantasy 7 and 9 on the PlayStation Store.
I don't know if I'll play 9 again.
Did you beat 9 before?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, then, yeah, you don't need to. I've never beaten 9. I will admit, I'm a super big Final Fantasy fan, but the only two Final Fantasies I've ever beaten are 7 and 15.
I beat 9, 10, 15. Yeah, so...
Yeah, see, I've never beaten any... I've played all of them. I played 9 up to the end of Disc 3, I think. Or even the end of Disc 4. It's the part, just for spoilers, if you... I don't know. If you haven't played Final Fantasy 9 in the 20 years it's been out, then shame on you. I think it's 25 years almost. You probably remember the part, Kalai, where what they do is they take your party and your party splits into four groups. And then there's... Or I think it's three groups, and there's three party members that go to each castle. And so the problem I had was, during the whole entire game, I had only leveled up certain characters, which was the wrong three characters to begin with. And so when everyone split into the three groups, I'm like, oh, I'll keep my super powerhouse group together, and I'll send the other groups by themselves. Yeah, way under, like super underleveled. Super, and I was dying constantly. So I had to literally...
That's the problem that I have with most Final Fantasies, is that you have to, they give you 1,000 characters and then you have to switch them out because you have to evenly level everybody, and I don't like that. I like using my three main characters, you know what I mean? Yeah.
And then in Final Fantasy X, which was the one that I also got probably the 8, I really never tried because I hated the junction system. I'm not a fan of the junction system. 10, I played it. What happened was, you know that boss where you have to be on those stupid little squares and it's like a clock and then he spins around and insta-kills you if you're behind him?
No, it's been so long.
Okay, since anyway, it's games. A dick of a boss, and it's just, I was like, no, I'm not going to overlevel myself to play this. And then 12 I played. I didn't really find the niche for it at the time because of the way the playstyle was, so. I really want to play it now, though.
The other thing I was playing was I got back to my Switch. And I was playing a little bit of Xenoblade Chronicles. I'm taking my time in that game. I'm not very far in that game.
How good is it, Kalai?
It is really good. It's just, I'm a little frustrated because I was in an area that I was dying a lot. And the quest was taking me there. And so the problem with that game is there's a lot of nuances to the Xenoblade Chronicles series. Because if it's a JRPG.
Yeah.
So I got to kind of learn to get those. Because I played and you get...
Is it, like, with compared to X, did you ever play the other ones? Like, the older Xenoblade? Yeah.
Yes, I played Xenoblades on the 3DS and beat it. This is the sequel to that one.
Okay, so you never played X on the Wii U?
No, but I own it. I played it for 10 minutes. Does that count?
I don't know. I was just wondering how the playstyles are compared to, if it compares more, because I know they changed it quite a bit from X to Xenoblade Chronicles. Well, from Xenoblade Chronicles 1 to X, I know the playstyle changed quite a bit, and I didn't know if it changed much, if you find much of a difference in the combat or the battle systems compared to Xenoblade Chronicles 2 compared to 1.
It's exactly like the 3DS version. Oh, okay. That kind of... The cool part is, though, the blades. The blades are really well done in this version. Because you're what's called a driver,
mm-hmm.
and you can wield the blade. The blade has a personality, and literally stands next to you and fights.
Yeah, I saw that. I thought that was really cool.
It's really cool. My blade likes to cook.
Yeah, see, it's almost like I was looking at Ni No Kuni 2, and how they're talking about the kind of new system for that, because they're getting rid of the idea of having like little Pokemon pets, but it seems like you're going to have allies instead. And it's really interesting that you're basically going to have allies that you just party in however you want and play the game that way, which I think is a really neat experience. Because Xenoblade Chronicles 1, I played quite a bit of it. The problem is, it was on my 3DS that I was borrowing the game from Kathy, This is part of the reason why she doesn't let me borrow games, because we went to Mexico, and I was playing it on our way to Mexico. We were on our way back, and I, at this time, don't know where that game is anymore.
That's awful.
Yeah, and especially on the 3DS, or like on the, well, I guess the Switch is a little different, but on the 3DS, where everything saves to the cartridge, not your system, for some games, if I'm correct, then even if I had to find another cartridge, it's... No, some of the games save there. I don't know. But either way, I don't have the cartridge anymore. So it kind of sucks. I liked it, though. The voice acting was pretty terrible, but I liked the game.
I didn't mind the voice acting because it was from... they were all from England.
Yeah, well, I guess that's the difference for me. It's because I very much listen to a lot of the American dubbing of a lot of my favorite animes and stuff. So I recognize a lot of actors that way. And so it's a really weird
American
change.
Dubbing is terrible.
No. Depends on the anime. American dubbing. There are shows, like, trust me, Kathy watches and I watch a crazy amount of anime, and there are certain actors or actresses that Kathy will literally, the voice actor will come on, and she's like, I'm going to watch this in Japanese. I can't watch this in English because I will literally want to throw my head through a window. But there are certain ones, like... there's a lot of certain ones that she will literally, like the guy, she's going to kill me for not remembering his name, but
it's all right. I doubt our audience cares about it.
Well, no, if they haven't watched Cowboy Bebop, they need to watch Cowboy Bebop and they need to, cause that's amazing.
So the other thing I've been playing, we're going to move right along here, is, I restarted Dragon's Crown Over because of course that also got deleted off my Vita.
Oh no. Well, at least the positive side with the pro version coming out, then I'm sure Joe's gonna probably either A, want to start a new character, or B, want to play it again. And with Dragon's Crown, you do have to beat the game with every single character class, so that's a thing.
Well, the first one I picked was like the archer, which tends to be the harder character.
Yeah, I picked the first way I ran through that game was, did I play the archer the first time? Because there's archer, barbarian, fighter,
Amazon,
and then there's the mage. If I'm correct, I'm pretty sure I beat the game originally as the archer, and then I'm playing through, I have one playthrough of each character. So if you want to party up, we're good to go.
Yes, however, I'm about to go on a rant about the Amazon.
Oh god.
What the fuck is with her thighs?
That was like the biggest, that was like a meme forever, Kalai.
I mean, come on. They're not smoothly drawn. It looks like she's got, like, cellulose. And the inside of her legs are red from rubbing together. I'm even uncomfortable looking at that.
I'm pretty sure it's not from rubbing together. I think that's just the blood of her enemies, but...
I see it as her legs and her thighs are rubbing together. Give that woman some, like, lubricant, something to just make it smooth. Because, you know, we don't want no rug burns down there.
Yeah, I think that has a lot to do with the art style of the guys that do those games, like the Odin Sphere style games. For some odd reason, when they make big, bulky people, they make them big. And it's like, look at the dwarf. Like, he's literally gonna, I think he would like flex and literally his eyes would pop back into his
head. Her waist is the size of a fucking dime. And her thighs are like fucking the Empire State Building.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I know. But for some odd reason, I mean, look at the sorceress. That's the other class we forgot about. Her boobs are bigger than most of the characters' heads.
Oh, I haven't looked at that one.
You didn't look at the sorceress? You should look, because you're running two monitors. You should really pitch up to just put in Dragon's Crown Sorceress into your search bar. And then you'll see pictures, or just, you know, turn on your Vita really quickly. And then just look at the sorceress. And then you can understand, you think the Amazon's thighs are bad. You play as the sorceress, and you wonder how she can stand straight.
Okay.
Because you get the ranger, and she's this tiny little elf that, for most men, has nothing to desire except for being an elf. And then you look at the other two, and it's like, okay, so you can either have the Amazon that has big, giant, massive thighs and ass, or you can look at the sorceress who has big, giant boobs and nothing else. It's pretty up there. Yeah, so I have a character. Here's the trick, Kalai. I'll tell you a secret. Especially if you go trophy hunting in Dragon's Crown, to beating the game a lot and very easy, is once you've beat the game with a single character, or you get to that point, because you have all those guys that you can revive that have died before, right? What you do is you play a new character and then use those as your companions, and then you have level 50 companions running around with your level 1 character.
Oh, nice. That's a good tip. There's a good trophy hunting tip for you.
So that's how I've done it, where I just walk in as a mage and half the things die before I even get a chance to do anything.
Sitters 1978, you should totally do a segment on that. Let's get to our topic of the show.
Okay.
And I want to talk about Valentine's Day, because Valentine's Day just happened, and I'm sure we have a lot of couples out there, and even people who aren't in relationships that are into Valentine's Day. So I want to talk about games that are great to play for Valentine's Day, by yourself or with another person.
So, because see, this is what I was thinking about, and this is something to help us maybe not broaden the topic, but just something I thought was kind of neat, is I thought about not just for Valentine's Day, but in general, you know, Valentine's Day is about spending time with your loved ones. Or your
loved... It is. Well, my loved one is video games.
Yeah. So if you're a single person, or if your loved one is video games, what I was thinking about was the idea of what games... Because this is something that I did with Kathy, because I have a love for video games. And the one thing I found was, for Kathy, at the start, she hadn't played video games. When I met Kathy... she hadn't played video games probably since Resident Evil on the PS1. So, like, Nemesis was the last one she played. So that's just to go, like, she hadn't played games in forever. So I had to get a way to get her to have this love for video games again. And it's finding that love for video games. And there's just playing games, like what games work to play with your loved ones that work really well to build a cooperative relationship without, you know, don't play Mario Kart. Or Monopoly. Those don't make relationships, they break them. There's a reason why Kalai doesn't play Mario Kart with Jim, because she'd probably just beat him, and then Jim would just go cry in a corner, and Kalai would have to then apologize, and it's just, Kalai just doesn't want to do that. It's just not worth it for Kalai. But then there's also games that you can play by yourself that are really engaging and are great things that, like, Joe had a great game, like Catherine.
Right, wait, before we get to that, actually... I'm going to talk about that right now. So I went into our Game Stuff podcast Facebook group and I dropped a question. What's everyone's Valentine's Day, i.e. what video game would you pick to love? I said mine is Danganronpa because I love Monokuma. I could just cuddle that bear forever, even though he probably wants to kill me. Jared said I played some Horizon and some Lego Force Awakens. We'll play a little more Horizon later to go close to the plat, but saving that for plat number 80. Think I might play some Dying Reborn later or something on PSVR. Joe, which is what you were talking about earlier, said Catherine.
Ah.
And JT said, I actually played the perfect game for Valentine's Day, Final Fantasy X.
That I guess that's not wrong. Yeah, and I didn't comment on that, but if you guys do want to, because make sure you guys are following our Facebook group. It's Game Stuff podcast group on Facebook, because we do post questions every week that we will answer, and sometimes if you guys ask questions we might use it as a topic for the show. So don't not look us up, because it's a great way to interact with us and get your questions read on the show. For me personally, I had two games to pick.
Ooh, what games?
So to play with your loved one, wouldn't not a better game than Lovers in a Space Time?
I heard that. I've never played that one. Is it good?
It is good. It's nice because, for one, it's the idea that, yes, you have to work together in space, but you're in a spaceship, and one person can drive it, one person kind of activates the weapons and shield and stuff like that. You can play it by yourself if you want, and you have a little cat that can do everything for you, which is kind of nice, but it's a great way to kind of help someone get into video games, because you could be like, okay, I'll drive this thing. I'll just worry about the guns and shield and all that. You just do what you need to do. I mean, it's called Lovers in a Space Time, which is also something there. A great game I think is really good as well. Now, people might argue this a little bit, but I think games that are great are games that you build a relationship with. So the games I can think of off my top of my head is Journey would be a great one for an individual. I know, yes, you're by yourself. Now, Journey's kind of the idea of metaphorically Valentine's Day, where Yes, you do die at the end. You're technically alone throughout almost the entire game. But the idea that journeys really need experience because you're not technically alone if someone's playing it, but you don't know who that person is. And they're just there to help you. You'll just be playing the game. It's a great atmosphere. There's no voices. There's just music, you in this open world. And sometimes you'll run into someone and they'll just dance around with you or whatever, and it's a great little experience, and it's a great emotional game that you build a relationship with your character as well as with everyone else in the world. Another one is The Last of Us. I beat Last of Us. Shit, I keep on forgetting that I keep on playing that. I beat The Last of Us. Like, I literally beat it this week. And
that's
the DLC.
Because it's a forgettable game.
What? Did you say it's a forgettable game?
Forgettable.
You're a monster.
I am.
I think the idea that the idea why it catches a lot of people is the relationship, right? The relationship between Joe and Ellie. Now, yes, for most of the game, it's not a very healthy relationship. Even near the end of the game, it's not a healthy relationship. But it's the idea that it's a relationship nonetheless that's there, that they can help each other with. And it's the idea of them going through this almost year-long journey to having it where you see two people that really hate each other in the beginning kind of like build a father-daughter relationship near towards the end. So it really opens. I can see why a lot of people were confused about the trailer for 2, because it really makes you wonder what's going on, but you never know. And then, I mean, even one of the other games that I think would be great is just any game you can play with your spouse. Now, there's a lot of these new games that are like that. We got Monster Hunter Worlds. We've got Destiny 2. We've got Final Fantasy 15 Comrades, which is bro love if you want to play by yourself. But also Comrades is a multiplayer way of playing the game. There's a whole bunch of games out there for people to just pick up and play. Like even Dragon's Crown. I mean, just pick it up. Just go on an adventure with your loved one. And if you're playing Monster Hunter World, you also get your little cat buddy to play with you, which is super exciting. But the idea that you get to accomplish something together, and I think that's when you're playing especially a game with your loved ones, it's the idea of it's just like in real life. You're together to accomplish something together. And I think if you can do that not only in the real world, but in the video game world, what a better way to play a game.
I actually like the Handsome Jack collection of the Borderlands series. I think that's a great co-op game.
Oh, that is also really good.
Has Kathy ever played it at all?
We tried to get Kathy to play it. She was able to walk forward. She was able to almost shoot someone. I think she shot him once. But it was basically her running my character through the Mad Hatter just ran through and just killed everything for her. So, yeah. She's played it. She loves the comedy of it. She loves Claptrap. She loves that kind of stuff. It's just the control scheme for her at this point is a little tough. But that's where she's doing well with third-person games. So we're getting her into third-person action adventures, third-person shooters, and then we'll work into a first-person game. For her, it's the motion things are tough for her, too.
Did you play Tiny Tina's Keep?
I love Tiny Tina. That's an interesting DLC. But it's even then, right? Like, Tiny Tina is such an interesting way where if you look at not just the story itself, but the idea of the entire DLC is based on a character, Tiny Tina, and her way to deal with the grief of losing a friend. That's literally what Tiny Tina, this DLC, is all about. But
good way of putting it, by the way.
Yeah, it's the idea, but it's a way to keep the memory going, right? And it's interesting that you can see that what she does is that in the beginning, her friends are very much against her doing the grief that way. But then near the end, they're like, yeah, you do whatever the hell you feel like because we're there to support you because we're your friends too, right? Which is super cool. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really neat. I just thought of another game while we were talking about it. I was just trying to think. Oh, it came into my mind and disappeared just as quickly. Multiplayer game.
While you keep thinking about that, I'm going to suggest Gears of War.
Yeah, bro love.
The Gears, well, have you played, you played 1-3, right?
No.
Oh.
You gotta remember, I was a PlayStation gamer, I played Xbox, but for me, I'll be honest, Kalai, and this is just, like I say, it's my thing. I've understood the stories of what Gears is doing. I get it. It makes sense. I'm not saying that they're bad games, but they're just really short for me. But I've listened to the stories. I think it's really neat what they did. Once again, I think 1 through 3 are great games.
Let's address the shortness of the game. You're correct. The game is only 6 hours long to play.
3 hours if you're really good.
Yeah, but here's the thing. For couples that are trying to get into video gaming, when sometimes you don't want to pay a 50-hour game. That's why I like the Gears of War series. I like being able to get in and play and get out.
Yeah.
And have that sense of accomplishment.
Well, and see, and I think that's where it's all the idea of what you feel your spouse wants to do. Like, one of the big games that me and Kathy actually played a lot of was Final Fantasy Realm Reborn. We played a lot of Final Fantasy Realm Reborn. I think MMOs are sometimes a good thing to play with loved ones. In the sense of it's a good way to... There's the reason why I say it's good is because you're building a lot with the character. You're putting a... You're like, for example, like with me and Kathy... I mean, especially if you look at Realm Reborn. Now, we didn't do this, but in Realm Reborn, they literally have... There's such a world in it. Not only do they have actual brothels, like real-life brothels that characters actually roleplay in a brothel and are paid in in-game money. Like, it is a fully... And it's not like it's just a joke. It is a fully where you have to private message the brothel. Like, there's an actual... Like, it's so big that there's actually a documentary on a certain brothel on, what's it called? I'm trying to remember the company that does a lot of the documentaries on, like video gaming world, drugs and stuff like that, like the more unseen things. I'm trying to remember what it's called. They do a whole bunch on YouTube. I can't remember. You guys can let us know. I'm sure someone will. But either way, there's a video game brothel and you pay an in-game money and to be a person that actually is for that clan to run that, it's actually a whole thing altogether. So it's not just like a...
Wow.
So it's... So
now, what did she play in that type of character?
She played an archer. So that's where it was easy enough to play because with MMOs, she's just not having to aim. She's not really having to move too much. It's just the idea that it's auto-locking onto things. And she's just pushing a button and getting it going, which works. So that's where, with that, it worked really well for her in that sense. And then the idea is that you build your character and relationship and you're doing missions together. And then the other thing is if you really want to go for it, you can actually buy from Square Enix a marriage pack. You can actually buy, they made it available, where you can literally pay so much X amount of dollars to actually have a wedding held in Final Fantasy in a private area with, and the amount you pay depends on how well the venue looks and how many people you can invite to the wedding, and then everyone gets wedding gifts and you get wedding gifts and it's weird, but it can be done.
It does sound weird.
But yeah, they did actually have it where Final Fantasy Realm Reborn, if I'm correct, I could be wrong, was the first game to allow in-game marriage for same sexes as well as other sexes, which was really... That's and like cool. I say, that's the idea that you, in that game, you could, if you wanted to, like if we wanted to and we played the game super hardcore, we could buy a house, we could renovate it, we could do everything we could do in the real world inside the game.
So single-player games, I had a few single-player games because you covered a lot of nice co-op games, but for single player games, what about things like Hateful Boyfriend?
Hadowell Boyfriend?
Oh, Hadowell. I don't know. I'm very bad at Japanese. Where you get to romance people as a
bird.
As a pigeon.
Well, yeah, any of the dating romance ones are good that way. Another one that I played, if you're really single, is Honey Pop.
I've heard of that game.
If you don't know what that is, it's a dating sim where your whole goal, it's a Bejeweled slash with a dating sim where your whole goal in the game is to quote unquote sleep with every woman in the game, and so you have to go on dates with them and then play Bejeweled to see how well your date goes and then give them things. Yeah, and there is if you play it on Steam, there they don't censor a lot of stuff, so it is not covering up much when you finish romancing a girl. So, but
what's the underwear game one?
The underwear.
The one that came with the underwear.
Oh, yeah, Catherine. I bought that.
Catherine?
Yeah, Catherine came with a pizza box and a thing of underwear. The collector's edition. I bought that.
Oh, no. I was talking about the I'm talking about the other game where you have to shoot women and give them orgasms.
Oh, Galgun.
Galgun, that's it.
I shouldn't be knowing the name to that. But yes, Galgun. The game where literally there is, if you buy the PC version, I think it's even the PlayStation version has it too, but if you have the virtual gun to use it on your PC, there's a button on the controller so that you can push it and it goes into emergency mode to change the screen so it shows that it's a different game. There is literally an abandoned mode. But the other one I was just thinking, depending on your type of likes and interests as well, there's a lot of dating sims out there for other groups and communities out there, as well as I think it was called Handsome Dad. Is it Handsome Dad? It's basically made by the Game Grumps, but it's a dating sim where you date dads.
That's weird. There's Mr. Masagi.
Yeah, Mr. Masagi.
You played that one?
No, I haven't personally, but I heard
that's a good game.
I heard things. I mean, and that's the thing. There's so many games out there, but it all depends on yourself. Like I say, if you want to go out there, and that's where there's a lot of games too, not just on Valentine's Day. If you want to connect with people, especially in this day and age right now, there's so many good games. Any of the free PlayStation Plus, any of the free PS4 games, like free-to-play games on the PS4, free-to-play games on the PC, those are always good games to buy and just jump in. Like I say, I'm playing Neverwinter. It's free-to-play. Jump in, make a character, go in, find a clan to be with, find a friend, go play with them.
Find us.
We're always playing those. And the other thing is, too, is like I say, there's so many good games like Monster Hunter. Super stoked. So, like, Monster Hunter Worlds, what a great game to play with friends and loved ones. Because it's just, you jump on, you help someone out. Build a community, build a friendship.
And that's the whole point of this episode, is that gaming, with even Valentine's Day, you don't need someone in your life for it to be truly love. Like, no. I love Corey like a brother. And if we play together, when we play together, we have a blast. And that's really what Valentine's Day is about. It's about loving everybody, no matter what.
Exactly. And like I say, whatever your love is, do what you feel. Just, you don't need to be with someone. It's like, I mean, when I had some tough times in my life, relationship-wise, and I mean, I went on not dating anyone for 5 years. You know what? And if I didn't do that, actually, it was probably some of the best points of my life where you learn a lot about yourself. Got a lot of gaming done. But the idea is there's just a lot more out there, and you don't always have to feel like you're alone, where there's so many things where maybe you don't need someone that's going to be there to love. Like, people love you. Like, it's like we're talking about building communities and the support that we have for everyone out there. Like, we build this community to support you guys as well as support ourselves. Like, there's days that, you know, like, for example, this week where Joe's sick, you know, we're there to support Joe, even though he's sick. And same with Kalai, you know, when she's sick, same idea. If there's something like when everything happened with my dad and stuff, with all the news and stuff, and with my mom was sick, you know, Kalai and Joe were there to support me. And a lot of the way that was is just me and Joe would pop on and play games at 4-3 o'clock in the morning. Joe would be like, hey, you know, oh, I hear you're having a tough day. Let's go play games. Like, and that's the cool thing about having the communities that we can have nowadays, especially with the PlayStation Network, so, and the Xbox Network, and Steam, and, well, Nintendo doesn't make it easy, but one day.
There's always Discord,
which you can find the Proven Gamer group on Discord, and we do have a game stuff. You can just join the Proven Gamer Discord, and we are in that as well. And you can talk about the game stuff, things you want, as well as you can always go on the Facebook page. Is probably the best way to reach out to us on our Game Stuff podcast group, because that's the one way to reach us. And we always one of us at least comments on everything that's on that page. So it's either Kalai, Joe, or me, or all of us, or two of us, but always one. Which is nice, and it's a real community of people that support each other. So
if you do like us, please rate, subscribe us, share us, tell a friend, and again, come to our Facebook group, Game Stuff Podcast, and our Twitter is at Game Stuff Cast. And we also have a Patreon page if you'd like to support us. It's patreon.com/provengamer, just like our producer Colton Nessler did. So we thank you. You can become a producer of our show. We'll give you a shout out, because we love to be shouting out people. Also, some sponsors. If any of the games that we talked about in this episode interest you, go to the provengamer.com website, click on our Amazon link, and go ahead and buy those games. You do your regular shopping, you know, buy some cat food while you're there if you need some cat food or dog food, and, you know.
It also works great for Valentine's Day, where when you forget at the last moment that you should probably buy something, the great thing is that Amazon's got this great thing called Amazon Prime, where depending on where you are, well, in the U.S., if I'm correct, it's always guaranteed 24-hour shipping, right?
Two-day shipping.
Two-day shipping, but either way, 2 days still gets you out of the doghouse. If you forget about Valentine's Day, you can go there and get Amazon Prime, which not only gives you great access to Amazon, all the Amazon Prime videos, but gets you that 2-day shipping so that you're not in the doghouse. Also, with that Amazon Prime, you get a free Twitch Prime subscription, which you guys should go to the Proven Gamer Twitch page and use that subscription and sponsor us there. Because you know what? Amazon's going to take that money from you if you don't use it. So you might as well use it and subscribe to the Proven Gamer Twitch. And you get all the discount on all those games as well.
Mm-hmm. And then it helps out the site and keeps our show going and the lights on. And maybe even eventually ups Corey's internet.
Maybe, one day. Or even better, it helps us so that we can have a show with you guys one day where I'll drive all the way, or hopefully not drive, but be able to fly, because we can afford to do that, all the way down to New Jersey or New York and have a show with you guys in that general area. Because for right now, it's literally across the entire country for me to go to do that. Which I would love to do, but, I mean, we would love to have a show in person live with you guys, so.
So how can they get in touch with you?
They can find me on the PSN store, or...
The PSN store, wow.
Yeah, I'm right the store, yeah. We talked about brothels. I'm only, right now, because of the exchange rate, I'm only 99 cents American. You can rent me for a day. No, you can find me at Aguyu, A-G-U-Y-U. On the PSN. You can find me on Steam at The Grounded Gamer, no E-double-D. You can find me also on Twitter, The Grounded Gamer, no E-double-D. And where can they find you, Kalai?
They can find me on Steam at Miley21, M-A-I-L-E, and the number 21, as I think I've been giving out my Steam name wrong. If I have, I'm sorry, because nobody actually friends me over there. You can find me on the Xbox Network at Miley, M-A-I-L-E, the number 21. The PlayStation Network at Miley1978. You can find me on Twitter at Kalai21, and you can find me in our Facebook group. Now,
and oh, I know, and just so you guys can know as well, if you want to find Joe, he's Mr. TMNT84 on everything.
And if you like our show, we have some other shows that you can absolutely check out. We have The Trophy Horse, which is our flagship podcast for PlayStation. We have the Nintendo Dual Screens,
which is our flagship podcast.
For Nintendo. We have The Smart Marks,
which is our flagship podcast for all the wrestling news.
And us. Yay.
Which is the flagship for the Proven Gamer, everything collab together, plus all the random gaming stuff that you don't think
and
about.
And Ice Cream Truck on Fire.
And having Ice Cream Trucks on Fire that are somewhere on the website. And for having three guests that sometimes are there and sometimes not there. And for also having... the episodes that last close to the longest time, and also talk about Xbox news very seldom, but we are the only Trophy Whore podcast where you will find things on Xbox most of the time.
We're the only Proven Gamer
podcast that talk about Xbox sometimes.
Yeah. There are a few contributors we'd like to thank Isaac Sago. He did our logo. You can find him at isaacsego.carbonmade.com. You can check the link in our description. There will be a link. I'd like to also thank our band, Take Away the Ugly. The song we use is Don't Panic. You'll find them on Bandcamp, so check them out. And we want to thank you, the listeners. I want to thank Corey for podcasting with me today in the afternoon when I'm awake and not sleeping.
And I want to thank you, Kalai, for being here. I mean, it's sometimes nice to have a podcast with watered down Kalai, but I can always make exceptions.
Yeah. So, all right. Thank you, everybody, for listening, and we'll see you next time on our next episode of Game Stuff.
Stay grounded.